gonna be.
And it is Oat on line one. Oat, what's up? All right, you sound you sound like cinnamon and brown sugar. You are the worst.
That's the best one.
Oh boy.
See,
that's this why he called.
Wait, which one do you like?
Dinosaur eggs.
Oh yeah, every day.
For oatmeal.
Yeah, because then the dinosaur eggs melt. What's inside of that? Was it were there actual dinosaurs in the eggs?
Yeah,
I think there.
What
like,
are you talking about?
Do you not are you not familiar with dinosaur egg oatmeal?
No, I thought you were just saying stupid.
He's
shit.
Not old enough to remember that. It was a shit. Little
dinosaur egg oatmeal?
Yeah. I think it's still around. I'm sure it is.
Who wants bananas?
Who wants bananas?
Yeah, right. Good morning, everybody.
It's not morning.
They don't know then.
It will be if they're listening to this in the morning. If it's 2 p.m., listen to it tomorrow.
You don't get to listen to it now unless you want to, in which case, all right.
Good afternoon.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Hey.
Unless it's not Tuesday, in which case,
wait. No, it'll be Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've got so many things to talk about today.
So many things.
And we're going to get to them in our...
Headlines.
As that guy just said.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
There's a story today that, I don't even have a good segue, because it's all just going to be creepy and weird.
Yeah, it's really serious.
Instagram. Mm.
I know about it.
In a move that they should have been doing from the fucking beginning, is protecting teens.
Yay!
So now they're putting in place, or they're going to be putting in place, the protections where adults can't message teens.
If they're not friends.
If they're not following. Is it following each other?
Probably.
Right. I think so.
Like, it seems weird that wasn't a security measure before.
Well,
you'd like to think that, you know, Instagram was created with this, you know, good intent, and they're probably seeing a lot of, you know, activity that is not good. So something's prompting this.
I mean, I'm not even going to say in their defense, shame on Facebook, because they do the same thing. I know it's also owned by Instagram is owned by Facebook as well, but like, come on, man, like that should already be in place.
But it's nice, 'cause they get prompted to report the adult, if they can, and I believe there's a separate now department dealing directly with those
good
types of submissions.
Hopefully they're actually good, because if it's anything like dealing with anything on the Facebook side, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah, well, it should be available soon.
Yeah, it's going to be global soon. It's going to be available in some countries this month. Soon. It does seem weird that, yeah, like, if someone puts their age in as whatever the minimum age is, I think, I'm not sure if it was 13 or not.
It was 13 on Facebook back in the day. I don't know if it still is.
So if someone puts in their minimum age, and I get they can lie about it, but if people don't, and then someone comes in, like, in their profile, they're, like, much older, like, hey, Instagram, just bake it in. Like, don't.
Yeah, those people can't interact unless it's family. Unless you have, because you can tag people as family.
That's true. Like, it should have been.
Like, there are steps
they're,
in place.
They're developing AI that will learn and try to detect someone's age when they sign up.
Are they?
Yeah. That's... So if you're, for example, I would say if you're logging in on a Chrome browser with your email logged in, it might search some of that back data to find out, okay, what's the actual age of the person that's signing up for this to help them.
Just, you know, some of the metadata.
That's fair. Try to figure it out. I'd be concerned about shared computers at that point, because we're thinking these are kids. They're using their parents' computers and phones probably.
Well,
so.
It goes by like accounts you're signed in with, right? So if you have your Facebook account and you make an Instagram, they go, yo. Right.
And when they sign up for new accounts, they're going the app will prompt them to automatically set it up in private if they want.
Right.
So they don't have to go in afterwards. So there's
that's good. That is good. I hope the AI is pretty solid out of the box. Hope there's no oopsies on that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, someone has to think of the kids. Speaking of minors, NVIDIA.
He set you up with an oopsie
so much better.
So hard.
I wasn't paying attention. I was just focusing on the next.
I noticed you steamrolled right past mine. Yeah.
So,
right into yours.
Speaking of oopsies.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. NVIDIA. Jesus Christ, NVIDIA.
What a fucking wild ride they've been going through.
For those who don't know...
Speaking of things you find behind rocks, Jesus Christ.
I appreciate that one. Continue, Tyler.
So NVIDIA, if you're not aware, when they released the 3060, came out and said they're going to block the Bitcoin mining hash on it to make it more appealing to
gamers.
So it's not, in theory, it's not going to just sell out all to the Bitcoin miners, because that's been booming again recently.
Well, I think it was any mining.
Ethereum.
Just crypto mining in general.
Sorry, Bitcoin.
Which is smart.
Right. It was. That announcement.
Just locking up the mining on the 3060. Right. Great.
Right. Then NVIDIA went ahead and released a...
I think this was same day. In the same announcement.
A crypto mining card specifically. So like, hey, crypto miners, buy these cards. Which again, on the surface, looks good.
It sounds like a good idea until you remember that there's a chip shortage.
Right. They're like, oh, there's a silicone shortage, so we want gamers to have these. But also, we're going to use the same silicone that we could have put into our 3060s and just make crypto mining cards that people are going to buy anyway, so you're not fixing the issue at all.
You're making it worse.
You're putting a bit of a Band-Aid on it, sure.
Temporarily, maybe.
Yep. When this moment happens and that Band-Aid gets ripped clean off,
mm-hmm.
because NVIDIA inadvertently, quote-unquote, put out an update on their 3060 cards that removed the crypto mining limitations. So now you can just buy a 3060 and crypto mine
They've corrected it, but it's already leaked online. You can pirate the software from anywhere to
take the restriction off.
And it's not even like bootleg software. It's software from NVIDIA that unlocked.
Arguably, it's officially supported.
It is absolutely why. And even if you can't get it, doesn't work. Like, people now know how to get around their crazy security that they had touted.
Yeah,
on
it's
that.
Not anything crazy.
Who got fired for that one?
Somebody.
Are you kidding?
High
me?
Up.
It wasn't an accident.
That's true. That one was intentional.
There's no way, because now they're gonna sell those cards to the crypto miners. So those, NVIDIA doesn't care.
No, NVIDIA don't ever think that NVIDIA has the consumer, the general consumer, in their best interest, because they don't. At the end of the day, and you can't blame them for this, they're a company. They're here to make money. They need to sell their cards and use the silicon that they have access to wisely to acquire the most amount of profits. Makes sense from a business standpoint. Huh. It fucking sucks on a general consumer side.
And NVIDIA can't even stop people from rolling it back.
No, they can't.
Which is
they would have to put do a firmware reset on all of the cards, and they can't do that.
They would have to try.
And why bother?
To stop this. And they why just bother? Don't. Yeah, they don't want to. They don't care.
They don't need to, because the cards are sold. Once they're sold, they've made their money. Problem solved.
Now they can use them without restrictions.
Exactly.
Speaking of restrictions. You ever heard of dark patterns?
No, never.
I have not.
You might have seen these. So dark patterns are patterns that trick users into
the darkness.
Well, they are used to frustrate people, and it was they've been around for decades. So, for example, if you go to cancel something, there's a big green button that says "Don't cancel," and you click on it thinking it's the cancel button, when really it's a little tiny line underneath that says "Yes, I'm sure I want to cancel," and then you click it, and it says "Are you sure? Rate us," and you can't cancel it without rating them, and then it just becomes very frustrating. So those are dark patterns. Those are things that are used to trick people. And so California is now banning the use of dark patterns that stop users for opting out of the sale of their personal data specifically.
That's good.
So there are dark patterns out there that trick people into agreeing into data sharing. You know, like they have little boxes that might say, "I don't agree to not share my data." You know, there are things like that. And
clever wording and whatnot.
Kind of a clever, just shitty word.
It doesn't stop all of them, but there are a few. For example, using double negatives was one that was being used frequently. Forcing users to click through or listen to reasons why they should not submit a request to opt out before confirming their request.
Wow. Good Lord, like, I haven't seen any of these.
Like, listen to so-and-so who says why they love this so much.
Like, I don't care. I
listen to the person we paid tell you why it's good.
And then there's one where people have to search or scroll through the text of a privacy policy or similar document to locate the mechanism for submitting a request to opt out. So reading through the policy being like, if you want to opt out, you have to do this, and otherwise you can't find it.
I have seen that, and that is infuriating.
Right. And so if businesses are found using this, they'll be given a 30-day window to fix it, and enforcement begins on July 1st.
I mean, I like that they're enforcing it, but that's not going to do shit, truthfully.
It's just going to make it harder, or they're just going to tweak it so that it fits the guidelines at that point?
Not even. I think at that point, if they're selling data and they're getting this much, if they get caught, then someone goes, they have 30 days to fix it. They go, all right, cool. and then they'll just do something else anyway. But until they're caught and reprimanded, they're going to keep doing the same thing. If there's no fine involved, they're gonna have a way to
I think there will be, because this is just an amendment to California's Consumer Privacy Act that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it needs to be, if you're caught doing it, there will be a fine. The fine needs to outweigh the profit from data collecting, or it's not going to matter. It's cheaper to take the fine.
I don't think giving them a fine is going to do anything. Pull their business license. They can't operate in California. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's going to be tricky because, I mean, Silicon Valley.
So the CCPA penalties, the maximum amount is $7,500 per intentional violation or $2,500 per unintentional violation.
That's nothing. No, that is nothing. Probably these not companies for... make billions of dollars.
So
on
now, does per
data.
Violation, is that per person, or is that just like per website or
per reported instance?
No,
that'll be the thing, because if they say like, all right, you have 3,000 people on here that couldn't opt out, like, are there going to be, is that opening the door to a bunch of different class actions? Like, it's a good start, but things like this need to be more harsh, because it's not going to. It's not going to stop anybody.
Yeah, I feel like they're just slaps on the wrist to make everybody feel better about them trying to do something, when really it's just like, hey, man, we know you're not going to stop. We don't have anything in place to stop you, but you're just going to pay us a little bit. We're taking a cut off the top,
right,
as you're making money.
That's all this is, extortion by...
That's effectively what it is. It's like, yeah. Hey, it's the cost to do business.
Right. Good attempt, but ultimately I graded a C.
Right.
Mm.
They need to adapt.
Yes.
Logitech.
I was going to say they weren't listening, but that's good too. Logitech, I personally don't understand the big appeal, the big hubbub. Logitech has a new gaming focused set of wired earbuds. They have a 3.5 millimeter adapter. They come with a 3.5 millimeter to USB type C.
Great. Adapter. Another dongle to lose.
Yeah, true.
It's fine, but so they're $50. The G333.
I mean, Logitech does make good hardware usually, but
yeah,
I do agree with what you're saying, Greg, where it is another dongle to lose at this point.
They're fine. I get, like, there's nothing that has an inline microphone for volume up, down, taking calls.
Hey, they're an affordable wired headset.
I mean, I think
$50 for a wired headset, though.
That sounds...
You can just spend $200 more and get the Sony wireless ones that are noise canceling.
I just feel like $50 for a wired headset seems kind of pricey, but that's just me. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you really need wired earbuds that have an inline control...
And good sound quality.
Then sure, but like they're not the only ones...
No.
In the game.
The USB Type-C adapter, though, is kind of compelling a little bit. Like, for instance, if I wanted to, for whatever reason, use a wired pair of headphones on a phone that only has a Type-C port, which is becoming more and more common these days,
right?
That's a solid alternative. But at the same time, there's good wireless options too.
Right. And if you're looking for something to plug into like a mobile device, at this stage of the game, there's very little reason to not go with a wireless set of earbuds.
True.
I mean,
and
there are some,
even the
sure.
cost-effective reason. Like, you can still get a pretty decent pair of wireless earbuds for less than $50.
Yeah, $30-$50, you can probably get a solid one. Mm-hmm. They're marketing these to kind of be used for VR headsets because it has a 3.5 millimeter in it.
That is pretty solid.
Again, just because they're VR certified, quote unquote, doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
It really doesn't.
I have a set of $12 earbuds, wired earbuds that I bought for my headset,
right.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, they work great.
Like, they're absolutely, you don't need anything special for them. So, I mean, so Logitech has my early view on this is meh. Like, I don't understand the use case.
Yeah.
For it when
I mean,
a lot,
I will say that with when you had the microphone on the cord right here, it did make talk to text a lot easier, which was pretty solid.
Yeah, but I think with our headsets, man, you really gotta lob that out a little bit easier.
Speaking of texts,
that seemed pretty easy to me.
It wasn't nearly as obvious and over the head as the rest of our.
But the segues shouldn't be.
Our segues are always very hacky and ridiculous.
Speaking of hacks,
see?
Did you know that companies can silently rewrite your text to hackers sometimes for just $16?
On purpose?
Yeah, it's legal.
Without telling me.
Yeah.
That neat. Seems like
so
a crime.
So there's a new attack on text messaging. that's pretty much invisible, which it uses text messaging management services that are aimed at businesses to take your text messages, redirect them to hackers, giving them access to like two-factor codes or login links that are sent via email. Like, hey, we're going to send, like PayPal will sometimes be like, log in using a one-time code. It'll send you a text. And so these companies, these services can be used to intercept text messages, and they can use it to reply. And a reporter who covered it had someone carry out the attack on his phone number, and it only cost the attacker $16 to do it.
That's ridiculous. And cell phone companies are aware of this?
Yes. And so when told about it, AT&T and Verizon simply directed The Verge, who reported it, to contact the trade organization for the wireless industry, and they said they had no indication of any malicious activity following the threat. And so this is sneakier than things like SIM swapping or SS7 attacks that used to happen. These are, you know, like with SIM swapping, it's pretty easy to tell that you're being attacked, that the phone will just disconnect from the cellular network. But with redirecting text messages,
you have no idea.
Yeah,
you'll never know.
Yeah. So the company that Verge talked to had fixed the exploit, but there are a lot of other messaging services that don't do it.
They just allow it to happen. That's
so
absurd.
Just be careful with your text messages with information like that. Because, like, I like what Steam does is that it's through the app. Mm-hmm. You know, you get, you know, the code right on the app, or the Blizzard Authenticator or things like that.
Use an Authenticator app. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has
Google's
theirs.
Is pretty good, too.
I would love to see a universal Authenticator app that more companies can use that can just be used to send codes like that that aren't. I mean, you can get secure, you know, texting apps, but I don't even know if those would be safe because it's still being intercepted.
It's still going through the provider. Yeah. So at the end of the day, I mean, it's pretty solid. There's a lot of ways around it as far as authentication, things like that. But hopefully there'll be some legislation that gets passed on there.
Yeah, and hopefully we can ban hackers from trying to use this service again.
Exactly. Speaking of banning and new legislation.
India.
They are reportedly moving forward with a mass ban on all cryptocurrency.
All of them.
Literally every single one. There are some exceptions to blockchain technologies. They're not going to interfere with that side of things. However, under the law, once it is passed, assuming it hasn't been already, at the time of the article that I read, it was not passed yet. Under the law, people who own crypto will have 6 months from the time that the law is passed to liquidate their assets or face punishments, reprimands. The punishments have not been decided as of yet. However, during a panel that the government held back in 2019, they had suggested that the time in jail for crypto-related crimes was 10 years.
They're doing this for a reason.
Right. And the reason that they're doing this is because India, the government, has a plan to introduce an official government-supported digital currency. Therefore, they want to outlaw private currencies. So it's interesting because as far as I know, they're the first official government body to adopt a digital currency. Which is very interesting. I don't like so much that they are forcing out all of the private, or can you even call them private? Because they're not solely owned.
I was
going to
say, is Bitcoin even private?
Yeah, it's not even private. It's a publicly traded
currency. Owned by the people.
Currency, but I don't like that they're pushing that stuff out, and I don't like the extreme legalities behind it that they're going to enforce.
When they say crypto-related crimes, does that mean like crimes?
They didn't specify.
I think they would consider using any
owning
coin
crypto,
that's not,
using it to purchase goods in exchange for services, whatever it is.
Like, would if they're bringing in their own crypto, then it barely matters. You might as well not be using a decentralized cryptocurrency because what is the point if it's just all going to be yours anyway, use your goddamn
That's not
money.
Even as bad as China, who, like, China bans you from trading them, but doesn't outlaw owning them, and India is going straight up to owning.
Yeah, you can't own them. Right. What's interesting, though, is if they do end up passing it, it does actually go through, and they do end up releasing their own digital currency, if the only currency that you're legally allowed to own in India is that new digital currency, it is going to skyrocket the value, and any early buyers in, probably people involved with the government, are going to become billionaires overnight.
I mean, that's true, but like it would, I'd be curious if like people like you or I, could we own the India cryptocurrency, or is it locked to people in their country?
Unclear as to whether it's going to be a global exchange for it.
Because that'll be
probably not at first.
Because that'd be very strange if it's then globally traded, except people in India can't then trade it with anything else.
Right. Plus, what are you going to do with like tourists and stuff? Like, if you or I ever went to India, we have crypto.
I mean,
therefore, yeah. We're breaking the law just by walking into the country.
We're not Indian citizens, though. I imagine it applies.
That's true.
To Indian citizens. And then
I'd imagine that they can't fight Bitcoin because it's public. I would say that like ones that like Dash that are created by people, sure. And a little bit about I would see that they would have a hard time.
I mean, I agree, but it was mentioned. Bitcoin was mentioned in the article specifically.
Right. But if they say private, then they're going to have a hard time with something like that. Because who are they going to go to and be like, stop it?
Yeah, that's true. They can't stop the exchange.
Yeah, at that point, it's probably going to be like if you're visiting, then like you can't spend it. That's going to be pretty easy to limit. If you want to exchange it, there's probably going to be Bitcoin trading kiosks at whatever destination you're.
Or there's going to be a hell of a black market.
Right.
It's going to be ultimately very difficult for them to manage on their own.
There was a Bitcoin trading kiosk in New Hampshire. It was just busted today, and people are arrested because it was a front.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't straight know about up. That.
There was I know where there's a Bitcoin kiosk. Saw it yesterday? Yesterday. I'm like, huh, that seems weird. If you're going into Bitcoin, own a computer.
Right.
Or a phone.
Right.
Or something.
Right. Have some passwords.
Right.
Yeah. Like set up a Dropbox situation.
Yeah.
And secure those passwords on the Dropbox password manager.
Hot diggity damn, we did it, boys.
We sure did.
You mean I can store all of my passwords on Dropbox?
No.
Oh.
Not all of them.
Okay.
So, quick backstory. Dropbox is a file share service
that is
currently free. It does have some premium memberships you can pay to get more access to more storage and things like that.
Right.
They rolled out a password management feature. Think Google Chrome, where it remembers your passwords and things like that for different websites and logins. They rolled that out to paying members in 2020. Had a lot of success with it, and it's now going free to all members in April 2021. So it is coming very soon. Currently, the free membership has a, quote, arbitrary limit of 50 passwords.
Which I created 50 passwords today alone. So.
Right. That's a lot of passwords.
Yep.
Admittedly, for the general consumer, that's probably going to be fine.
Right.
For more people who are online daily, doing a lot of things on multiple websites across multiple accounts, that's probably going to be a little short, but... It's arbitrary. It's new. We'll see if they change it.
Yeah. It's Dropbox just taking advantage of bad press on LastPass.
Right. Yeah, because LastPass just recently introduced a limit to the number of devices for their free plan. I don't know what the limit was. I didn't get that information. Mm-hmm. But I do know that Dropbox, as a free membership, will allow you to sync all of your passwords across three different devices. And they have numerous apps across all mobile operating systems, and it runs as a web service as well. On top of that, Dropbox Plus account, we're looking at $11.99 a month. Dropbox Professional account, which is their top-of-the-line one, is $20 a month. So it's a pretty solid option. The fact that it's free, 50 passwords is pretty solid. It would be pretty great for... elderly people, if they are utilizing the web service and things like that, because they're not going to have more than 50 passwords. And if they do, why are they online? Who let that happen? But overall, I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, and the Dropbox Plus, with that $12, you get 2 terabytes of...
Which, that's a decent amount of storage, cloud storage specifically, that you can then access across the three devices.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Google is much less expensive. Actually, as far as the data
the
amount,
the storage, I don't remember what the starting amount is for Google. I'm almost 100% positive it's nowhere near 2 terabytes because I pay monthly and I have 200 gigs.
Right, but that's $12.
True.
So Google starts at like $2-3 for a couple hundred gigs.
That's true.
But Google doesn't have any real software itself for password management.
And theirs can be kind of janky sometimes, truthfully.
If you're using a Chrome-based browser, it is going to have some built-in password management, but if you're on a different device that doesn't have whatever, you have to be using Chrome.
Yeah, you have to use Chrome.
If you switch browsers on your mobile device or whatever it might be,
you're not going to be able to have the same functionality.
Right.
You guys ever seen Lost?
No.
Couldn't find it.
No. It's one of my favorite shows. I just talk about it because, like, every once in a while I like to watch it just because, like, I want to get my, you know, plane crash fix.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of crash fixes.
That might be my least favorite one of the night, Greg.
I'm my least favorite one of the night.
Greg, do you know a guy who works creating magazines? I forget what that what his job title is. Is he a printer? I think he's a printer.
Anyway,
hey, Ryan, you have anything you want to tell us that combines both of those things?
I sure do. So Microsoft mm-hmm. just came out. Mm-hmm. So there was an update for Windows 10.
Sure was.
That just rolled out on the 9th. It was a patch box, or what did they call it? Was it a patch box?
If they're calling it
patch day, that's what it was. It came out on the 9th. It was a new update. I can give you the code. I don't have it right now, but
excellent.
What it did is it caused, quote, certain printers using certain apps,
fun,
quote, to crash Windows completely while printing.
Nice.
Until they rolled out an update, which they have done, the only fix was to roll back your version of Windows. There was no fix that they could come up with at the time.
You think they'd have that stuff figured out by now?
Seriously, that should have been something that they could have done like that.
For a very long time that I discovered, Windows is also having an issue with wireless printing, just in general.
Yeah. Like, oh, they have a real hard time with that. Like, hard time.
Hopefully it's not an issue with that exchange problem.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think one's still ongoing. They got some problems with that one.
Yeah, I think they fixed that one maybe sort of now a little bit.
Speaking of fixing, they do have a fix for this printer issue. Nay. However, they really don't make it obvious to get to it. So just for everybody who's listening, if you do have the newest version of the Windows 10 update and you are having problems with your printer attempting to print and then crashing your computer, there is an update out currently. You have to manually go and download this update, though. They don't download it automatically like normal. You go to the settings, update and security, Windows updates, check for updates, and then you have to download the optional quality update. Once you have that downloaded and installed, the problem is supposedly fixed at that point. Your computer will no longer crash when attempting to print.
Nice. That's a nice fix.
Agreed.
I keep an Overwatch for that.
Oh, boy. So I brought this up because I loves me some Overwatch. But they're adding Overwatch to NVIDIA Reflex, which is awesome.
What is NVIDIA Reflex?
What's NVIDIA Reflex?
So NVIDIA Reflex is a system that is built into
NVIDIA GPUs and stuff?
I believe it's GPUs as well as some monitors. There's monitors that have
NVIDIA
the support
onboard
built in.
Support. Mm-hmm. Nice.
And what it does is that it reduces latency.
Oh, that's pretty solid.
And up to 50%.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
so right now it's on the 3080, 2060 Super, 1660, a couple more. This is the only three that are here.
I'm surprised it's not across all of the 3000 series, truthfully.
It's already on a bunch of games currently, but Overwatch is the newest one. And it is something where, like, Overwatch on the 3080 went from 26 to 16.
Wow.
In terms of its latency.
That's quite a drop.
Which is so good. So it's currently available to anyone in the Overwatch public test region, which is me.
Look at you go. Nice. So fancy. You get
so long as you have the latest drivers and a GeForce GTX 900 GPU or later, you'll be able to take advantage of this.
So it's everything 900 or later.
They just had testing and data with the 1660 and the 3080, but it's available
across the entire suite. Yeah.
They just wanted to show that it does work great with the 1660, works even better with newer GPUs, which is fair.
Makes sense.
Just to give a shout out to NVIDIA, just doing like, this stuff makes a little bit more sense, but just doing like extra stuff that's just awesome. Like,
see, that's great. Fuck the other stuff they're doing though.
So I like their software side.
Their software side is solid.
Like they
make great quality of life changes and they're simple to do.
Yeah.
So the hardware side of things,
their noise cancellation, their background
noise
reduction.
That stuff works really good.
It's insanely good and free.
Yeah, super free if you have an NVIDIA GPU.
Yeah, they have they're doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, they're doing really good.
Real crazy stuff. Not really weird stuff, but crazy stuff. Which brings
us to the
end of our headlines. So thank you for joining us, and we're going to move on to
Weird News of the Week.
Weird news of the week.
Weird news.
Now, I almost stocked up on Musky Boy weird news, like all across
Musky
the board.
Because
not only is Musky Boy doing what I'm about to say, but he's also making music. He made a techno song.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's probably not.
It's not.
Well, maybe it is, though.
So, our boy Elon has a new title.
Our boy Musk.
He is now the techno king of Tesla.
Oh, yes.
And that is official.
Oh, God.
Because he was filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He had also changed his chief financial officer, Zach Kirkhorn, has a new title of Master of Coin.
So they just bought all the fucking Bitcoin.
So he is now
or Doge. What
techno king of Tesla. Again, if a 14-year-old boy and the spirit of an 1800s oil baron were just shoved into the same body.
That's what's happening.
He's now techno
king. I will say, Musk can be my techno king any day.
Now, they haven't explained why they've done it.
Because he is the techno king. That seemed obvious.
Well, it's interesting because this is a few days after they were just sued by a Tesla investor.
I feel like they get sued all the time.
Well, because Elon just can't keep his mouth shut on Twitter.
That's
true.
You
know, this is just like a few, last year in May when he said Tesla stock's too high on Twitter, and they lost $13 billion in value overnight.
That's why would you say that?
Because he wanted to bring it down to 420.
What a fucking champion.
So,
did it hit 420?
Of course
it did. Nice.
Elon personally and Tesla as a company each paid $20 million in fines also after he falsely claimed in a tweet that he had secured funding to take Tesla private.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that, yeah. That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So that's what our Musky boy is up to.
Fucking See, Musk.
I'm curious of how much this ultimately hurts them. I get they're paying the insane amount of fines, but this keeps them in the public eye. People are aware of them.
Yeah,
people keep talking about
it. Tesla has lost value over the last month or so. It's lost, you know, $120 a share in value. So
even negative publicity is still publicity, and their shares may be going down in value, but the company itself is doing
it's
great.
Still in the spotlight. Elon's always in the spotlight.
I'm fine with it.
Our little Musky boy.
Because like it's not like
he's such a Musky boy.
It's not like their products are taking a hit. It's not like people go,
yeah,
oh,
people are still buying Teslas.
Right. It's not going to stop anybody from buying a Tesla. It's going to stop people from investing in Teslas, but like people are still throwing money at them.
Yeah,
so.
Like that's what I mean. Like the company itself is still doing fine. The stock is not doing great, but the
not
company.
Not doing great.
Not. It's still what? It was $300 some odd
it's
a share?
It's still one of the most successful.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yep.
But the company itself is doing fine.
You guys ever have problems with your load mods?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure have.
Sometimes it comes out white.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to work with that here. So, Rockstar.
Wow.
Rockstar reported that a fan-made fix for their load times on their game has been adopted and officially rolled out. The patch is live. You can download it. The patch was made. Excuse me, not a patch. It was a mod at this point.
Technically,
technically, it was a mod. It was created by a GitHub user, ToasterCX.
Yep.
He claimed that he discovered a way to reduce the load times by 70%, which is fucking absurd. That is an astronomical amount of time because we've all played. They're pretty long load times.
Right.
All joking aside.
Now, it's for GTA Online.
Correct. It's not It's not single player. It's GTA Online. And in the article, it was funny because ToasterCX put a little jab out to the Rockstar devs. And he said that the issue regarded a single CPU thread bottleneck that should have only taken a dev a single day to fix.
A guy a day.
How long has GTA 5 Online been
too long?
Out?
A decade?
Yeah, an absurd amount of time. And he did it in a day.
GTA has outlived like three systems.
Yeah, it's been on three separate consoles. So, Rockstar took the mod, he took the files and the data, they rolled it out as an official update because that was the original issue, is it was not officially supported. That had some drawbacks to it, but now it's official. You can download it, and the load times are 70% better.
And he got paid.
What?
Yeah, like
$10,000.
Yep.
Much money.
Rockstar has a bounty program for their bugs, which are mostly security and privacy issues, but they made an exception this time. Well, you fucking should have.
Made an exception. Because somebody fucked up and this guy did your job.
Right, and because this is going to open up the doors for Rockstar to specifically make more money.
Right, yeah, because like, I hate the fucking load times on that game.
Right.
But now it's so much better.
I assume. I don't know if
I haven't played in a while.
Right. We're assuming. Now, speaking of loads and troubles with them.
Yes, tell me all about the troublesome loads.
So the headline on this article was already beautiful, and then just the more you dive into it. So the headline being ballsy vasectomy ads get foul call from the NCAA.
Great.
Apparently,
tell me about it.
So apparently there was a Virginia-based urology center was advertising getting vasectomies during March Madness.
Fair.
The idea there is they try to do that every year. So, like, hey, you can get the vasectomy, then take a couple days to rest and then watch the games. Might as well.
Sure.
Now, the NCAA is very protective about their trademark. You know, March Madness.
Of course.
So, Virginia Urology decided to have an ad campaign called Vasectomy Mayhem, which sounds awful.
It doesn't sound good.
Like,
it sounds like a bad thing, like, happened during a vasectomy.
Right, it sounds like a news chopper.
I don't want mayhem during my vasectomy.
Right, like a news chopper is just looking at this village and, like, everyone's sterile. There's vasectomy mayhem on the streets. Like,
vasectomies are running rampant in the streets.
That's already wild. The NCAA decided that's too close to March Madness. And they sued them.
How is vasectomy mayhem anywhere close to March Madness?
Well, nothing like March Madness.
To quote their claim, it's likely to result in confusion, mistake, or deception. You know.
Are you watching March Madness this weekend? Yeah, I'm getting them tied.
Like, who is Googling for March Madness and accidentally going and signing up for
vasectomy? No one has ever confused a vasectomy with basketball.
Not one time ever.
Once.
They're not even remotely related.
They're...
Did you see what they actually call it now?
So vasectomy time.
Vasectomy time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
admittedly, that is better than vasectomy mayhem, but still.
Well, they were calling it, apparently at some point, they had a website called Vasectomy Madness, which, not better.
No, that's not better at all. That's arguably the same.
The Virginia Urology says they're going to dispute that because why? I mean,
yeah, that's
go for
absurd.
It. Sure.
I'm all for them disputing that because that is such a bullshit claim on the NCAA, but change the name.
Right. Like, well, the NCAA.
They could have come out and just been like, your ball's in our court.
Right.
That would have been good.
Vasectomy time.
Like, yeah, like, vasectomy time's great, but, like, I don't like vasectomy mayhem, vasectomy madness.
Those are not good.
Don't make me angry about this. Like,
right. Those
vasectomy
are bad.
Time. It's a, like, slam dunk.
What? Like, what is the urologist going to kick in the door? You ready for some mayhem? Like, just no.
You ready to get a fucking vasectomy?
No, I'm not. I'm pretty sure I'm sterile now anyway, but thanks.
You know what? I'd like to leave now,
I have a fear load dripping down my leg. It's not going to produce children. Thank you. Like,
Oh, good Lord.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. That's, well, no.
That
no.
was our weird news of the week,
sure
brought to you by
weird. Vasectomy to madness.
Vasectomy time.
It wasn't really, though.
Now it's time to move on to Greg Stockman and Honey. Greg Stockman and Honey. In this week's
stocks
are brought to you by Dinosaur Egg Oatmeal.
I love oatmeal.
Thank you, Dinosaur Egg Oatmeal, for making a really bad thing slightly better.
I love oatmeal.
By allowing us to pretend like we're eating dinosaur eggs. Yum.
Those are my favorite kind of eggs.
Yeah. So this week, I wanted to talk about stocks.
Good.
And I wanted to talk about the idea of day trading.
All right.
But first and foremost, I want to do a shout out to a couple stocks that I like this week. Just a reminder that my stock advice is not advice. And in fact, I'm a piece of garbage who should never be listened to.
True.
You should ignore everything I say.
True.
So I'm just going to give you my opinions and I'll let you know if I own them. Okay, great.
Great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a shout out to ChemPharm. KMPH ticker, which I do own, and I've owned since a pretty cheap position, but skyrocketed yesterday, came a little bit down to earth today. They are a pharmaceutical company out of Celebration, Florida, and they are designing medications, and they just got FDA approval on an ADHD drug that has virtually none of the side effects of Ritalin and a couple other big ones.
Neat. That's pretty solid.
Which is really big. This company's only, 10 years old or so, and is a really good look. I also want to give a shout out to Desktop Metal, which is out of our neighboring Massachusetts. And they manufacture integrated additive manufacturing solutions accessible to engineering, design, and manufacturing applications, 3D printing machines, and more. And this was founded about 5 years ago and is looking good.
Okay. All right.
But in any case, day trading. Day trading is when you buy and sell a stock in the same day, and a lot of apps will restrict you from doing that. But it's something that, in general, when you're looking at the ebb and flow of the day of a stock, okay, never buy in the morning. That's my opinion. Because stocks tend to go up in the morning, down in the afternoon, and then you have what's called the power hour between 3 and 4 o'clock, where things will just sort of chug towards 4 o'clock when the market's closed. And so you want to avoid, a lot of people, you got to avoid buying high. Because people will be like, oh my gosh, this is going way up. Let's do it. Let's do it. I buy it. And then all of a sudden, it drops and you're out hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually I say, wait, it's my opinion, is wait. Because generally, because you got to realize that California hasn't woken up yet. So when 9:30 hits, it's still 6:30 there. Their markets have not opened up or they're not woken up if you're on the East Coast. And usually you see towards the lunch hours when that stuff usually begins to pick back up. So you sort of see the early morning up and then it drops and then everybody, you know, pushes in during lunchtime and then it goes back up. So be careful with those swing trades is what they're called, where you sort of buy something as it dips and then pick it back up. Just because, you know, you need to be able to read the market. And I always say, educate yourself, do research, that kind of thing.
This does not count.
Yeah, no, this is not, this does count, not count as research.
Because like I said, I'm a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. So that's the end. All right. Fantastic. So in one specific piece of garbage that I remind you of, say goodbye.
Vasectomy mayhem.
Vasectomy madness.
Okay. Goodbye.